Okay, let's learn. B'cheshek, we'll talk about something on a very, very simple level tonight. Talk about something very, very pashut, very down to earth, very simple. I'm hoping a little bit of chizuk that we need during this time. And to learn a little chumash also, to understand, to learn a little Torah. This week we finish the Sefer Bamidbar, we finish the book of Bamidbar. I want to concentrate on is the final parasha. The final parasha of the Sefer, Masai. The parasha deals, this week's parasha, the second parasha, Masai, deals with five basic inyanim, five basic subjects, which at the very end I hope to be able to bring together. Basic subjects, first of all, the masos, the journeys of the Jewish people, the places where they journeyed, where they stopped when they were in the desert. The places where the Jewish people encamped in the desert, the masos. The second subject is the death of Aaron. It's very hard to understand because we already told in Parshas Chukas about the death of Aaron HaKohen, and yet here the Torah tells us again and when he died and where he died that wasn't mentioned before. So the death of Aaron HaKohen, the dividing up of Eretz Yisrael, how the land is going to be divided. The Goyrel, the lots were drawn, the way Eretz Yisrael was to be divided. The Arei Miklat, the special cities of refuge, that if somebody, God forbid, killed by accident, that the person would have certain special cities to where he could run, where he could go. The Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge. And finally, the Torah returns to the subject, to complete the subject that we had in this past week, last week's parasha, the subject of the daughters of Tzlovchad, who were seeking the inheritance, to establish an inheritance to continue the name of their father. The daughters of Tzlovchad, who felt that it was fair that they should inherit from their father, that there were no sons, and so on. The daughters of Slavka. These are the five basic subjects in the end of Sefer Bamidbar, at the end of the Sefer. But we have to try to understand why is it that this is what we're reading now, Davke at the time of Rosh Chodesh Av. Davke at the time, Erev Shabbos, Friday is Rosh Chodesh Av, the beginning of the 9 days. So why does this come out in such a way? What's their connection? What's the relationship between all these things? These five different inyanim, these five subjects in the time that we're in now, the benefits are. We have a Kabbalah, we have a teaching, a tradition. It's found, it's really from the Medrash, but it's found in the writings, discussed in the writings of the Megala Mukos, one of the great Mekubalim, one of the great Kabbalists, the Megala Mukos from Krakow. So the Megala Mukos says that in the first words of the Pasuk, when the Pasuk tells us, Eila Masei B'nei Yisrael, that these were the journeys of B'nei Yisrael. That's how the final parasha of the book of Bamidbar begins, with Moshe Rabbeinu saying, Eila Masei B'nei Yisrael. These were the journeys of B'nai Yisrael. So the Megala Mukos brings that the words Eila Masei B'nai Yisrael, and Eila is an Aleph. The Aleph stands for Edom, the Golus of Edom, the exile of Edom, of the Roman Empire. That's the Aleph of Eila. Masei, the journeys, the Mem, stands for Madai, which is Persia. Madai is Persia. B'nai is the base that stands for Bavel, Babylonia, Bavel. Yisrael, the Yud, stands for Yavan, which is Greece. So The Megalomachus reveals to us an astounding thing, that when the Torah tells us the journeys of the Jewish people in the Midbar, Eila Mas'ei B'nei Yisrael, in the word Mas'ei, Mem Samach Ayin Yud, are hidden, are concealed, the four Golios, the four exiles, the primary exiles of the Jewish people, as we've discussed many times, we know that Mitzrayim is the source, of course, of all the exiles, but the other four, the exiles of Bavel and of Persia and of Greece and of Rome, of Edom, these are the four Golios. So we understand that Rosh Chodesh Av, at the beginning of the month of Av, which is when the Jewish people mourn over the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, of the Bate Mikdash, of the temples. And the Jewish people mourn over the exile of the Jewish people and the exile of the Shechina, the Divine Presence. So we understand that the final parasha, the parasha with which we bring in the 9 days, is a parasha of Golus. It's a parasha of exile, of the journeys of the Jewish people, the wandering of the Jewish people in the desert. Eila Masei B'nei Yisrael, the wandering of B'nei Yisrael, and hinted in those words, Eila Masei B'nei Yisrael, are the four Golios, the four exiles that the Jewish people are going to have to endure until Mashiach comes. So somehow, whatever we went through in the Midbar, whatever the Jewish people went through in the desert, is the root and source somehow of what we're going to go through in the four exiles that are going to take us through history to the very end. The Ramban writes, the Ramban says that the Masos are very mysterious, that the fact that the Torah lists the 42 places is a very mysterious thing, and the Ramban, who is a master of mysteries, the Ramban says, Le Niglu Ta'aman, the reason that the Torah tells us all these places has not been revealed to us. It hasn't been revealed. Le Niglu Ta'aman. Why did the Torah have to tell us that they were here, they were here, they were there? Now even though the Ramban, of course, is familiar with all the Midrashim and everything else, but the Ramban is telling us there's something very mysterious. Le Niglu Ta'aman. The Svarim HaKadoshim that we spoke about in the past, the Svarim HaKadoshim, Tabina Baal Shem Tov, tell us that not only does this parasha contain within it the mystery of the exiles of the Jewish people and the four exiles and the four lands and the four empires, not only that, but that any personal exile, that any Jew at any time in his or her life, at any point in history, goes through any difficulty, any personal goals, any sense of distance, detachment that any Jew is ever going to experience, any personal goals, any personal exile. There are people who are living within a few meters of the coastal of the wall in Yerushalayim, and they're in exile. Because if a person himself or herself is exiled from the deepest part of oneself, so that's godless. So any exile that any Jewish person is ever going to experience at any time in history is contained, is hinted at, is already found somehow in the parasha of the Masos, of the journeys of the Jewish people who couldn't find a place, who were traveling from one place to another in the Midbar. So just like the Jewish people would not find their final replace until they would come to Eretz Yisrael, every individual Jewish person in history is longing for that final place, that destination, that's his or her personal tikkun. It's his or her personal Eretz Yisrael. Whether it means that you end up in Yerushalayim or you end up someplace else, that's not the issue. The point is that every person has these journeys, these risings and fallings, these difficulties, these temporary encampments, good days and bad days, until you finally get to your destination, to your tikkun. Until you finally reach the place that's your Eretz Yisrael, your place where you have to be. And it's all in the parish in Masai. We mainly understand that the Ramban is telling us that the mystery or the reasons of the Masos, of the journeys, have not been revealed. So we understand that since in a mysterious way, in a very deep way. All of the nisyonos, all of the tests, and all of the difficulties that any Jewish person would ever go through till the end of time. All of this is already found somehow, is alluded to, is hinted at in the journeys of the Jewish people in the desert. So we all know that that itself is the test. The test is that we don't know why. We don't understand why. Sometimes we're here, sometimes we're there, sometimes things go this way, sometimes things go that way. The very fact that we don't know, that gufa, that itself is the nisayon. The reason that the underlying mystery of the journeys in the desert have not been revealed is because the underlying mystery of each person's journey in his or her own life is not revealed, because that itself is the test. Now what test am I referring to? What's the test? So I'm going to read to you a few lines from the 40th Torah of Lakuta Maharan. The teachings of Rabbi Nachman are very deep, and I promise to keep it simple tonight. So I'm going to have to give a simple explanation of something that's very deep. We read to you a few lines from the 40th Torah. Rabbi Nachman begins on the pasuk Eilu Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. Rabbi Nachman is talking about this pasuk, the pasuk of the journeys of the Jewish people. Eila, these are the travels, the travails, the journeys of Bnei Yisrael in the desert. So Rabbi Nachman says Eilu Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. He brings Issa Basar Mamaris. He brings from the Seifa Asar Mamaris, which is really, this is found also in the Medrash. Issa Basar Mamaris, the Asar Mamaris brings a Medrash. Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. The Medrash brings this pasuk from the parasha. Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. These are the journeys of the Jewish people, and this is where they camped in the desert. Bishvil Shechotu Be'eila Elohecha Yisrael. Bishvil Zeh Yisu Bnei Yisrael. The Chazal say, Chazal take this pasuk from the parasha, Eila Maaseh Bnei, and these are the journeys, the travels of the Jewish people. And they say, why did the Jewish people have to travel to so many places? Because of Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Who remembers? What's that talking about? Eila Elohecha Yisrael? That's talking about when the Jewish people stood at Har Sinai and we worshipped the golden calf. So they said, Eila Elohecha Yisrael, this is the God of the Jewish people. Speaking about the golden calf. So Chazal tell us that the reason that the Jews had to wander, the reason that they had to go through this business of Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael, to go through the journeys and the wanderings of the Bnei Yisrael in the desert, why? So Chazal say, because of Eila Elohecha Yisrael. Because at Har Sinai we worship the golden calf by saying, these are the gods of Israel. This is the God of Israel. Eila Elohecha Yisrael. So because of Eila Elohecha Yisrael, the Medrash says, that's why we have to go through Eila Maaseh Bnei Yisrael. Is that right, fellow? Because we worship the golden calf, therefore we have to go through these Eila Maaseh Bnei, because the word Eila. Therefore we have to go through all this tzaros, all these problems. So Rabbi Nachman writes, I think this is one of the few Torahs actually Rabbi Nachman himself wrote. It wasn't written by students. Rabbi Nachman himself wrote. Nimsa, this means, we learn from here, Shekol HaNesiyah Shel Adam. Now remember, since we learn out from the journeys of this week's parasha, the journeys of every Jew who's ever going to live, so Rabbi Nachman says, Nimsa Shekol HaNesiyah Shel Adam. It comes out that any journey that a human being has to take, any journey that a Jew has to take, who bishvil kilkul ha'amuna, the underlying cause, the underlying reason for that journey, is that something is wrong, something is missing in the person's amuna, in the person's faith. That just like the Jewish people at Har Sinai, this is what Chazal is revealing to us, that because there's something went wrong in their amuna, in their faith, that's what we were discussing last week the whole time. That something was missing, in a very subtle way, but something was missing in their faith. And Chazal tells, as a result of that, they had to go on these journeys through the desert. So Ibn Achman says, we learn from here that the underlying cause for any Jew to undergo exile in his or her life is when there's a lack of faith. That with the same way by Sinai, when there's a pagam and something is missing in Emunah, when there's something lacking in Emunah and faith, the The result of this is masal. The result of this is get your knapsack and get on the road. Now why is that? So we're not, this is a very deep thing. Are you going to try to think of a way to, you know, like you're saying, yeshivas to slug it up, to try to disprove it, because it's something that we're naturally going to resist. You'll hear right away, you're going to resist this. You're not going to want to receive what he's going to say. So Rabbi Nachman says, why is this? Ki imahay yamamin b'emunah shleima, sheyochel HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahazim leikol tzarechai, lahay naseh shum nesiyah. If you believed with all of your heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can provide you with what you need where you are, you would never have to travel anywhere. Please don't make a mistake. Rabbi's not talking about going to Eretz Yisrael. If I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, it's a chashuv thing. Right? No one's talking about going to go to Israel is a different thing. That's because you have faith, right? But he's talking about, especially, try to picture in your minds the beginning of the 19th century in Ukraine. Okay? It works now also. But I don't want to take you right away to 1995. Let's begin. Imagine when the Rebbe's writing 1800 in Ukraine. You know, the Jews had to schlep from one place to another to find the Parnassa, to find a way to make a living. My great-grandfather, Alav Shalom, was a tremendous Talmud Chacham, was a great tzaddik. My son is named after him. He spent most of his life living in a town where they didn't have a minion of Jews. He sat in the back learning while his wife was running a business, and he would have to walk miles every day to go for a minion. But there would be the Jews in these little villages would get together, and they would daven for a Shabbos, what was going on. It was a whole thing. For most of his life, he lived such a way. It was a very common thing for people to have to schlep from one place to another. We know of this also. We know of these things too. To have to schlep. And even if you're in one, if you're living in one place, but you have to schlep from a business to a business, you have to go crutching and begging and talking and handling with 1,000 people. So Ibn Achman says that if a person would believe with all of his heart, if your emunah would be completely intact, that the master of the world could provide you with what you need right here where you are, you would never have to go anywhere else. You would never have to travel. But as Kakash, you knew that it was a tzaddik had to travel. That's it. Kakash. There are different cheshbonos. Reb Nachman is saying, if you believe, essentially, your belief is so strong that you believe, listen, Mali Shom, Mali Khan, Mali Hacha, Mali Hassan. What's the difference? I'm here, I'm there. The God, the Baruch Shalom is over there, the Baruch Shalom is over here. If he could pay for my rent over there, he could pay for my rent over here. You wouldn't have to go anywhere else. Nimsikyan is see Kilkala Muna. The reason that we're schlepping from place to place, and understand what this means, the Rebbe's not just talking about having to schlep from one city to another, but he means even in our lives that sometimes things are going well and sometimes things are bad. That the fact that we're schlepping in our each person is carrying his own galus on his shoulders. The reason for this is because something is wrong. There's a kilkul emuna. That just like because of Eila Lehechi Yisrael, because something was lacking in our faith over there at Har Sinai, that we couldn't connect to Hashem completely at Har Sinai, for whatever reason, that's not for tonight, we couldn't connect completely, there was a separation, there was something wrong in our faith, and as a result of that, Chazal told us, that's why we had to travel 42 places in the desert, schlepping in Golus from one place to another. So to even now, the reason that a Jewish person has to schlep in his own personal Golus, in his own personal exile, the reason is because there's something, there's a kilkul in Emunah, there's something missing in Emunah. It brings a pasuk. One of the most frightening things is how he ends this paragraph. Which is what we need for tonight, this paragraph. This is a short tirul. I'll tirul on a few lines. He says, Gam ha'idea tiltul misakin is a tiltul shogorim kivyoch alamayla. When you go out into Galus, as a result, because of your lack of faith, when you're forced to go out someplace to have to schlep in your own personal Galus, that ultimately will correct your problem in faith. Rabbi Nachman says, it's designed, each person's Galus, every Galus that every Jew has to be in, every exile that each Jew has to go through, is personally designed for that person to come to a level where their emunah is repaired, where their faith is repaired. Sustam. Hashem gives you a patch and says, you're a bad boy, you're a bad girl, you don't believe in me. Go out. No. It means that as a result of your, that the result of the tiltul, Rabbi Nachman calls, the schlepping, the going from one place to another, as a result of that, a person comes to emunah. A person's faith is restored. And not only that, the last sentence is, and he's mistaken, tiltul shagam kivyochel amala. And a Jewish person should know that when you're lacking in faith in Hashem, not only are you causing yourself to go into exile, but we know that everywhere where the Jewish people go into exile, what happens? Hashem accompanies us into exile, right? Wherever we're exiled, the Rebbeinu Shalom, the Master of the World, goes with us. Therefore, the most frightening thing is that when we're lacking in faith, then the Rebbeinu Shalom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, is exiled. K'mashal kol tziluv, it says in Yeshaya, the 28th chapter of Yeshaya, which the Rabbah, the Mepharshim explained, means that when there's avodah zarah in the world, when a person was worshipping an idol, the Kadosh Baruch Hu says, things are getting too tight for me, I'm uncomfortable here, you believe in something else, that means you're raising another idol up to my place, so Hashem says, you know, I can't stay here anymore, I'm going to have to go into Golus. In other words, if you don't believe in Kadosh Baruch Hu, and you place some other belief there, in that place, instead of Hashem, then Hashem says, you know, there's no room for me here. You believe in this thing. You believe in something else. I can't stay here anymore. I have to go into Golus. So I have to go into exile. That's the Torah. That's the 40th Torah. Let's talk about it. It's something that a person resists. We don't want to hear such things. So, you know, in psychological terminology, there's something that's called cognitive dissonance. It means that when you really don't want to hear something, you might just don't hear it. You don't hear it. Let's try to understand. So it should be something that we can hear, that we can understand, and take into our hearts. It's the parasha now. All the nesiyas, all the journeys that a Jew takes in his life, have to do with the fact that in the place where the person was to begin with, he didn't find the Rebbeinu Shalom. And because he didn't find the Kadosh Baruch Hu in that place, you have to look for him elsewhere. That's what Rabbi Nachman was saying. Because you didn't find him in this place, yeah, you believed. You said your Ashrei, Nishma, you benched a little bit. But you didn't connect to him in this place. Vazoi, you didn't connect to him in this place. We'll have to find him in a different place. Didn't go over here. You didn't connect to him in this place. So you have to look for him in a different place. Now, has it helped for a person to schlep from place to place to find the Rebbeinu Shalom? Has that helped? It says in the Rabbi Nachman himself says in the Sefer Hamidus, in that amazing Sefer that's so difficult, these, you know, the one-line things, the Sefer Hamidus, some of you are familiar, I think in English they call it the Aleph Beis book, the Sefer Hamidus. So Rabbi Nachman has, under the heading of Drachim, of Derach, of paths, he says over there, that Al-Yidei Nesiyas HaDrachim Nasim Mavin, that the people who are always traveling from one place to another, they become mevinim. What does it mean, a maven? A maven, I think that even the, it might even be in the Webster's Dictionary already. What does it mean, a maven? A maven means, it means in Hebrew, lahavin. So a maven means you become a maven. You know, a person who grows up in one little place, and is sheltered, and is, everything is cozy and nice, and his or her little place, isn't this kind of voice a maven? He's not a big maven. You don't know much about what's going on. Rabbi Nachman says, but a person who schleps from place to place, is going a maven. It becomes a maven. You see that people who have to run around a lot, who are schlepping from one place to another, become a venom. The experiences of life, huh? The different experiences in those different places creates a maven. They create a maven, and a person who understands. What does that mean? What does that mean? I mean, it's on a simple level that if you go, you go around a lot, eventually somewhere along the line, you figure out how to change the oil in the car or something. Which I still don't know. My students can attest to it. It was take care of these things for me. So a person becomes a maven with a tiltul drachim by schlepping. The truth is, what Rabbi Nachman is telling us is that where a person was living in his or her own little place and fell into the mistake of Eila Elohecha Yisrael, that in that place that he or she was in just didn't make the connection, didn't see that everything in that place was from Hashem. That's what Rabbi Nachman said, that if you would believe with all of your heart, completely, where you are, no matter how things look, Hashem can take care of you, you wouldn't ever have to go anywhere else. It means that by going someplace else, Rabbi Nachman himself says, you will discover that the Baruch Shalom is taking care of you. This is what the Rebbe means, that a person's a maven. In other words, when you're forced to take your show on the road, as they say, When you're forced to take Yeshua on the road, you begin to discover, you begin to connect more to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Why is that? And you see that the tzaddikim, their famous stories, how the Vilna Gaon feared Golus, right? The Vilna Gaon, it's famous that the Vilna Gaon used to go away and disappear for times, and he'll go disguised in Golus. Their famous stories about the Holy Brothers, the Rebbe Abzushia and the Rebbe Elimelech, how they used to go into Golus. And almost all the great tzaddikim who we talk about and from whose waters we drink, almost all the great tzaddikim at one point or another feared Golus. They went out into the world. Why? Because when a person is home, you become cozy and comfortable and complacent. But when you're out someplace, going from place to place, you are forced to seek HaKadosh Baruch Hu because you're so vulnerable, you're so alone, you're so fragile, that you have to be a mavakish Hashem, you have to mechapes elukus, you have to look for God. In your own place, you figure, okay, here, we grew up together, God and I. We grew up here together, so we're at home. You know that when any of us are away, someplace where we don't want to be and we're lonely, you know how we find the Rebbeinu Shlom in those places, right? It's true. It's true. If you end up some... my wife always says that when I have to go away for a few days, when I have to go someplace to... When I go to Israel sometimes, I have to go to a city someplace. She says that she always knows when I come back, so I'm going to have so much more simcha. Because it's true, because I'm a big baby. I get very lonely when I'm away. I'm all the time lonely. I call up all the time, you know, and I want to hear this kid talking, I hear that kid talking. You know, when you're home, if you don't hear, all you're saying is, I heard you talk already too much, you're making me crazy. And when you're away, you're chalishing to hear one word. To hear one word. So you become a mavakish. That's how it is, true? When you're away, you begin to seek. When you're on the road, you begin to want, you want again to connect to the Rebbeinu Shlom. Because you need to feel that He's always with you. You can't go like this. So that's what the Rebbe is telling us. And Chazal say that through Eilam Aseh B'nei Yisrael, that through the journeys of the Jewish people, we are able to come to correct this problem of Eilah Lehechi Yisrael, of lacking in faith. So we have to leave the place that we are in, to go to other places to find Hashem. Now, when a person knows this, knows what? When a person takes into the heart after the initial resistance, when a person takes this true teaching of the tzaddikim to the heart, with emunah shleimah, with faith, then the person believes completely that every single schlep in life, every single difficulty, whether it means at work or it means going to another place or whatever it might be, to go schlepping out, you know, a person wants a shidduch and they have to go on so many dates until they come to the right shidduch, to the right zivig. All these journeys that a person takes, all these masos, when a person knows that every single trip that he takes is connected to his own personal tikkun, that it's bringing you closer to your, it's bringing you closer to repairing your faith, it's bringing you closer to Eretz Yisrael, it might not be to Eretz Yisrael, Tafka, the land of Israel, but to your personal place of Eretz Yisrael, is bringing you closer to the place that you need to be in. So when a person knows this, then life becomes a lot easier. If you have to leave a certain job, you have to leave a certain place, if a certain shidduch didn't work out, whatever. So instead of being bitter and angry and frustrated and upset, the person of Amunah realizes that the whole tachlis that I'm schlepping from one place to another in my life is that the master of the world is taking me through the journeys of the desert, through these funny desert places, that I should be able to come... That I should be able to come to Emunah, that my Emunah should be fixed, and I should seek closeness to Him and daven to Him more, and to find in all of these travails and journeys, I should find my tikkun, my rectification. Mimela, a person doesn't have kashas, a person doesn't have questions, and doesn't doubt Hashem, and is not angry about these trips that he has to take, because he knows that if you don't go through these trips, then the Emunah will not be repaired, and if the Emunah is not repaired, the simcha with joy, then God forbid, you'll never find your tikkun chalil. Everybody knows there's a famous story. It's told in many different ways, but I think that this, you know, I believe this is the one, this is the way that Rav Zevin was very careful with the stories that you have here. Rav Zevin is a goyin, a genius in learning, to tell of a meisim. It's not that you have every day a big time of chacham saying all the stories. So as I recall, this is the way Rav Zevin told the story. It's a famous story. You've heard it probably in different versions. But the story is, that before the Kedushas Levi, before Rabbi Levi Yitzchak from Bedichev passed away, he promised his friend the Koznetzer Magid. He promised his friend the Koznetzer Magid that he won't rest. He will refuse to go to his final place in Gan Eden, in Paradise, in Olam Haba, in the next world, until HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends Mashiach, until redemption will come. The Bedichev promised, because the Bedichev was about to die, and the Bedichev said to his friend, the Koznetzer Magid, I will not enter into that place. I will refuse. I will demand that Mashiach be sent. Anyway, the Bedichev died. Nothing happened. Aside from the fact that the world became much darker without the Bedichev. So the Koznetzer Magid waited 4 years. 4 years. He didn't hear a word from his old friend. After 4 years, in a dream, he had a vision of the Kedushas Levi. He had a vision of his friend, the Bedichev, from the world of truth. And the Koznetzer Magid asked him, Rabbi Levi Yitzchak, you promised. They said, I promised what? You promised that you wouldn't go to your place unless Mashiach was sent. So the Kedushas Levi told him, Rabbi Yisrael, he said to Kedushas Magid, soon you're going to be here also. Soon you're going to be here also. And you will see when you're here that everything that happens on earth to the Jewish people is with a cheshbon meduyak, is with an exact accounting, and a completely perfect and righteous cheshbon. Completely perfect and righteous accounting. And v'kachava, what happened was that a short time later, the Koznetzer Magid woke up and he told over what happened, what he saw, and he died a short time later. What was the Kedushas Levi saying? We wish he wouldn't have said that. We wish there was something else. What the Kedushas Levi was saying was, listen, every single time a Jewish person had to pick up from one shtetl and schlep to a different shtetl, every time a Jew had to pick up from one town and schlep to another town, from one job, from one way of life, etc., there's a cheshbon. It's Hashem is working out in the journeys of that person through his personal desert. HaKadosh Baruch was working out the amazing things that he was working out in the 42 journeys of the Jewish people in the desert. That the person's emunah should be restored. That the person's emunah should be fixed. Therefore we understand that the Torah Davke enumerates the 42 trips of the Jewish people at the time of Rosh Chodesh Av, at the time of the beginning of the month of Av. Davke, at this time, the Torah enumerates these places. Rabbi Yankel Ishbitz says that there are certain places in the world where you feel like it doesn't seem clear to you that God exists there. Like when Yonah was running away from Hashem, he went to the ocean. And when people are in the desert, you see, when you're living in a yeshuv, when you're living in a place where people are interacting and things are happening and stuff's going on, so there, you know, you see like, oh, you can see that there's hashgacha, this happened, that happened, Hashem's involved in a million different things, you can see all kinds of things going on. But when a person's in the sea, or a person's in the desert, it's very hard to notice what's the hashgacha there. Every morning you wake up, it's pretty much the same thing. We came back from Eretz Yisrael with my family years ago, we went on a boat. It was a treat for the kids that we go on this, you know, nice ocean liner, luxury liner. I was going crazy after around 5 hours. You know, when you look there, it's unbelievable. You can go for days and days and not one McDonald's. Not one. All you see is the same thing. More and more. And in a desert, a person would feel like this, like, as if Chalila, one could think that in this place there is no God. So Hashem takes Jewish people through their deserts, through places where it might seem that there's no God. So that the person, Davka, corrects his lack of faith that forced him away from his home. That forced him away from his original place. Because when you go through a desert, you have to ask yourself, Ayim Akam Kivoda, where is he? You have to begin to wonder. You can't go on ignoring the question when you're in Galus. Well, now we understand the Medrash. We can understand the Medrash. It's brought down in Rashi. This could be compared. In other words, the 42 journeys of the Jewish people that's named, those journeys that are named in the Torah, to what can this be compared? So the Medrash is a very famous Medrash. He brings it down. This can be compared to a king whose child was sick. And the king had to take the prince to a faraway, distant land in order that he should be healed. On the way back, when the child was better, when the prince was healed, on the way back, so the king began, when they passed by each place where they had spent the night, where they had encamped, so the king mentioned, oh, you remember this place? Kan Yoshanu, here we slept. You remember we slept in this place? Kan Haikarnu, you remember over here? Remember here we had a cold night? Kan Chashash, there's Raishcha. Do you remember in this place you had a headache? You remember you weren't feeling well? Your head was hurting you? You were sick? You remember in this place? What's Chazal telling us? This Rashi brings down. That's, in other words, why does the Torah tell us all the places? So the Torah is telling us, like the child who was healed, and on the way back, the king shows him all those places. You remember here he didn't feel well? You remember here we spent that night, there was a hard night we spent together, and so on. So what does that mean? So I think that it's very simple. Every single difficult thing that a Jewish person goes through in this world, every midbar, every desert that we have to cross and see that we have to go over, every single difficulty that a Jewish person encounters in life, you have to believe b'emunah shleima, you have to correct your problem of the egel azav and believe that the king is taking care, he's taking his child for refuah. If you have to leave one place and go to another, if something in life doesn't work out, you have to believe in a shleima that it's mamish like a king who's holding his son by the hand to take him for a refuah to be healed. So what does that mean? The pointing out the names of the places on the way back. It means, perhaps this is what it means, that only after the child is healed, only afterwards will the king explain and tell us, why is it that in this place you had a headache? In other words, why is it that you had to suffer in this place? As the father explains to him, Lamafreya, the father explains after the refuah when Mashiach will be here. The father, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is going to explain to each and every Jew, why did you have to experience this difficulty? Why did you have to go through this desert? Why did you have to cross this ocean? Why did you have to lose this job? Why did you have to lose, God forbid, this child? Why did you have to lose, God forbid, this spouse, this parent? Why did you have to lose a parnasa, v'chulu, all the tzaras that the Jewish people have experienced through history? Only after the refuah, after the child is healed. Only when it comes to that time in history, when Ana Kelna Rafana Allah will be fulfilled, when the refuah will be fulfilled, and then V'haisla Simchas Olam will be eternally joyous, then HaKadosh Baruch will explain to us, you remember over here in this place, yes, the Tzaras, not just the Jewish people, I want to tell you, why did you have to have a headache in that place? I want to tell you, why did you have to lose that job? I want to show you, why did you have to, why is it that shidduch didn't work out? And you know very often, we're privileged, if you have a schus, you can be privileged even in this world before Mashiach comes, that when you're going through something, your mamish can't see it at all. But after something is finished, and you suffer through it, and the king, then sometimes you're privileged that even in this world before Mashiach, the king takes you for a little return trip, and he says, you remember over here, now you understand why over here you have to go through this. Now you see. Now you see why I had to go through this over, and now I'm telling you why. This place was this place was that. So sometimes a person can taste the mesikas, the sweetness of this understanding, even in this world. And now we can understand the most amazing medrash. An amazing medrash. But you look at it a few times, it's so simple. Listen to the words of the medrash that's found in Rus Rabba, and the medrash Rabba on Rus. It says in the medrash, Ilo haya ruven yodeya shakadosh baruch hu machtiv alav, Medrash begins by saying that had Reuven known that Hashem was going to write in the Torah that Reuven was trying to save his brother Yosef, right? Had Reuven known that that was going to be written up forever in the Torah, and that the Jewish people are going to read that on Shabbos and talk about it and write books about it, had Reuven known that he was going to get a big write-up in the Torah, then he would have put Yosef on his shoulders and would have carried him right back to his father. Had he known. Had he known. And had Aaron HaKohen known that the Torah was going to write, that Aaron went to greet his brother, even though his brother took over the job, and Aaron could have, as we've spoken about before, Aaron would have been very justified in feeling bad, but he didn't. Had Aaron known that when he went to greet Moshe Rabbeinu in the desert, had Aaron HaKohen known at that time that the Torah was going to write this down as an everlasting testimony to his greatness, that he greeted his brother, and he wasn't jealous? Had Aaron known that? So the Medrash says, so he wouldn't have just gone to greet him and give him a hug. He would have brought a whole band. He would have made a whole record, a whole dance scene. He would have taken, like, you know, he would have gone with drums and with tambourines, and he would have brought a whole chevra for a record, for a dance. He didn't know. He didn't know. He didn't know that it was going to be written in the Torah, and there going to be svarim and drushes and talks and learning and Jewish till the end of time. He didn't know. And the last one, the Medrash says, not really the last one. The last one is a surprise. V'ilah ha'yidei Boaz. And if Boaz, that's the story of Ruth, right? V'ilah ha'yidei Boaz. Shekadosh Baruch Ha'machtev Lo V'yatz B'lo Keli V'taycha V'tizba V'taysa. Had Boaz known, you remember that when the Ruth Nabuch, she didn't have anything, she was working that day, so it says Boaz gave her some grain, some parched grain. So that's what he gave her to eat. I mean, he showed her favoritism, and he was nice to her. Right? Even though she wasn't Jewish yet, but she was a stranger. He showed her this favoritism, and he gave her some grain tea. But the Medrash says, had Boaz known that that was going to be written forever in a Megillah? Had Boaz known that? So the Medrash says, Agolus mufutomus hayim achila. He wouldn't have given her parched grain tea. He would have given her fat cows. He would have brought her a fleishig meal. From here we see that when you love someone, you give them a fleishig meal. That's just a side point. All right, remember that. We'll talk about that later on, some other time. So he would have brought her a golus mufutamus. He would have, right? He would have brought her. We're not animal rights supporters over here. He would have brought her the most delicious, delectable meal. But he didn't know. He thought, all right, who's watching? Who? I mean, you know, it's a little chesed. I want to do a nice thing. So he brings us some cereal or something. But had he known that the Torah is going to be machnev alav, it's going to stay in the Torah that forever and ever in the Megillah. It's going to stay in the Megillah forever and ever. So he would have brought us something good. That's, you know, you want to get good publicity. You ever hit such a crazy thing in your life? This is the magic. I didn't tell you the end yet. I'm saving you. You hit such a crazy thing. As if Chas v'Shalom, who are we talking about? We're talking about Reuven, the son of Yaakov. We're talking about Aaron HaKohen. And we're talking about Boaz, the Shofet, the leader of the Jewish people, Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest person. All three of them. What are we talking about? That this is something that they were, that if they would have known that they were going to get better publicity, they would have done it in a more wholehearted way. Everything that these people did every moment of their lives was L'shem Shemayim for the sake of God. There's no question about it. If you don't believe in that, you're not Bikaros. Every single thing that they did, these three people, they did 100% for the genuine, authentic purpose of serving the Master of the world. That's 100%. So listen, if I only knew that it was going to be written forever, I would have. I remember I once saw, I read this someplace, imagine what the world would be like if every single thing that a person would produce at work or whatever would have his signature on it for the whole world. That would be a different, the world would look a little bit different. We'd be a little bit more careful. If everything would have a chasima signature, and the whole world would know, okay. But we're talking about tzaddikim, about the most righteous people. What's going on? So let's try. Let's try them. No one has an excuse to say that they didn't understand this. When a person is schlepping from place to place, when a person is going through his nesiyas, the galus, when a person is going through bad times, through a midbar, through a desert, and over a sea, those difficulties that we're talking about, each person in his or her own way, with his or her own tackle, own package, and suffering and sorrows, So sometimes the question comes into the mind of that person, why does this all have to happen to me? No, on a bad day, you never thought that? Did you ever not think that? Why is this happening to me? Sometimes you wake up in the morning and you say, every single thing, you like, the first, you knock over your Nagelwasser, and then from there it's all downhill. The whole day, it doesn't go. At work, with family, it doesn't go. And the whole day you just think, Baruch Hashem, end this day. Just to end this day. So a person sometimes asks himself or herself, why do I have to go through all this? Those you begin to have questions of, a little bit of a question of Emunah. Here the Baruch Shalom is taking you on the road, Davke, taking you through a desert, Davke, to strengthen your faith, to fix the problem of Eilei Lehachi Yisrael, right? To fix your little Egel HaZov dilemma, your problem of the Egel HaZov, of a lack of faith. That's why you're schlepping to begin with. But in your schlepping, you're asking yourself, no, why do I have to go through this? Why me? But if a person is zeichet, listen now, that if a person is worthy and a person strengthens his or her emunah to believe that the master of the world, the king, is taking me mamish through this to bring me to a refuah, to heal me, to bring me to something great, to bring me to some Eretz Yisrael of my own, and you believe that emunah shleim, and you strengthen yourself with that emunah during that day 100 times, then you would mamish be besimcha. You would really be besimcha, like the tzaddikim. You would be completely joyous. I'm not saying you would tolerate it, you would bear it. You'd mamish be besimcha. Elohoye Reuven Yedeya. Let's talk about it. If Reuven would have known, it doesn't mean that Reuven was looking for publicity, that if I would have known that the Bereshit was going to write me. It means. Reuven was crying. It says in the Torah that he tore his garments. And he said, Ayelud Anenu Vani Onani Ba, the child is not here, Yosef is gone, Vani Onani Ba, and what's going to be with my life? I'm completely, totally lost, right? That's what Reuven said. Oyvei, my life is destroyed. What's going to be with my life? And if only he would have known. Of course, he had to do the best he could. And of course, he had to try to save Yosef. And at the moment, he did what he could do. And he did tshuva, right? We know he did tshuva. He cried about it. But Reuven would have strengthened himself to know that because of this ma'isa that was happening, Hashem was working out the most amazing thing, that Yosef HaTzadik is going to go into Egypt, into Mitzrayim. And because Yosef HaTzadik is going to be in Egypt, the Jewish people are going to be able to go into Golus there and to be able to survive the Golus. It had to be such a thing. We had to go through that Golus to come to Eretz Yisrael. We had to go through that journey. Elohai Reuven Yodeya. That what was being worked out here was the creation of the power of Mashiach ben Yosef in the world. That's what's happening. He didn't know. He didn't see. All he saw was a dark, horrible journey, a trip of Golus, and he didn't see Elohai Yodeya. Elohai Reuven Yodeya, that from this was coming out, Yosef and Mitzrayim, the most unbelievable tikkunim for the world, Mashiach ben Yosef. Elohai Yodeya, he would have felt, despite his bitterness over his failure, but he would have strengthened himself immediately afterwards with great emunah and simcha to say, okay, weiter, let's go on. There's a journey, there's a trip, and to take it to simcha, to have emunah that somehow, a tikkun, somehow something great is going to come out of this. Ela haya Aaron Yedeya. If only Aaron would have known. Because Aaron at the time, Chazal tells us, was filled with so much anguish, even though he was happy to see his brother, he didn't understand. It's enough that the Jewish people had to be all these years in Golas, in Mitzrayim. My brother was able to escape from Egypt. Why is Hashem sending him back to Egypt? So at the very moment that he's greeting his brother, right? He's also filled, Chazal tells us, with unbelievable sadness. That what? Why is God saying, what's my brother have to schlep now back into Egypt with the Mishpach? What's going on over here? What for? Why can't at least my brother be spared the agony of this whole Indian? What are you going to bring him into this whole parasha? Elohai Aaron Yedeya. If only Aaron would have at the moment known. If only he would have filled himself completely with the knowledge, with the emunah.
that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Goel Yisrael, he's the Redeemer of the Jewish people, and from Moshe Rabbeinu coming into Egypt, the Jewish people are going to be redeemed and it's going to come out. Moshe Rabbeinu has a chelik in the redemption. Masha Hayahu Sheyiyah. The word Moshe, Masha Hayahu Sheyiyah, says in Koheles, what was will be. Moshe Rabbeinu was the first Redeemer, and Moshe Rabbeinu is going to come back to be the last Redeemer. And there's an Indian I don't want to talk about now, Mashiach ben Moshe, which is not for our Olam right now at this time. The first two letters of Mashiach's name are Memshin for Moshe Rabbeinu. Masha Hayah, Hu Sheyiyah. That spells Moshe. What was will be. And if Arakoin Ilohaya Yedeya, if Arakoin would have at the moment of his galus, of his darkness, strengthened himself with the Yediyah, with the knowledge that the Baruch Shalom is making a refuah, is bringing some great, great cure to the universe, through what my brother is going to go through, and through all these sorrows, Ilohaya Yedeya, then he would have been dancing and singing in his misery. And then last but not least, perhaps the most mysterious of all of Elohai Abayah's Yedeya, if Boaz would have only known that this poor woman, this stranger that he was serving, that he felt so bad, Nebuch, Elohai Yedeya, did he know at that time that this is the mother, this is the great-great-grandmother, David Malka Mashiach of David HaMelech, it's going to be his own wife. And it's going to be the grandmother of David HaMelech. And from this woman's going to come out Mashiach Sikenu. Elohai Yedeya. In other words, if at the time of my sadness over this woman's fate, if I would have only believed that in all these difficulties that she's going through and that all the world is going through, that somehow there's going to come out a tikkun, a refuah, then at the moment there would have been some simcha and joy for a suda, like a yontif meal, if he would have known. And if they would have known, if we would know. And if only we would know. Look what we're talking about here. Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu, and David HaMelech. It's a good lineup. The story of Reuven, what came out from that? Yosef, Mashiach ben Yosef. The story of Aaron, what comes out from that? Moshe Rabbeinu. Mashiach ben Moshe. Whatever that means. And from Boaz and Ruth, what comes out? Mashiach ben David. Elohai Yedeya. So now I'm going to tell you the surprise ending of the Medrash. L'shav, listen how the Medrash ends. L'shav are in the past. L'shav are hayo adam oisem mitzvah v'anovi koisvah. In the old days, a Jew would do a mitzvah and some prophet, some novi would write down that mitzvah. In other words, in the old days, every Jew had like a Megillah written about him or her. And you would do a mitzvah and the novi would write down a point. Yeah, that's what it says in the Medrash. In the old days, a prophet, if you did a mitzvah, you did something good, a novi would write it down. It would be recorded. So the Medrash asks, this Medrash, the Medrash asks, but now when a Jew does the mitzvah, who writes it down? Who cares? Who notices? Mi kaisva. So the Medrash answers, Eliyahu kaisva, Melech HaMashiach, V'gash Baruch Chaisal, Ayidayim. Then Eliyonavi is the recording secretary. Eliyonavi writes down the mitzvah, and the Mashiach, Melech HaMashiach, and V'gash Baruch Hu stamp it. That's what the Medrash says. Eliyahu HaNavi writes down the mitzvah, and Mashiach and Kadosh Baruch Hu give the final stamp of making it permanent, the seal of the king. Mashiach and Kadosh Baruch Hu sign it. You hear this? It means that every single thing that any single Jew ever goes through in his own personal goals, not just Yosef, Moshe, and David HaMelech. But every single thing that any Jew ever goes through in this world has unbelievable deep mysteries in it. That's what the Ramban's talking about. The sight of the Masos, the mystery of the travels of the Jewish people in the desert. In other words, that every single thing that you and I go through somehow is connected to the coming of Mashiach. Just like in these three episodes of Moshe Rabbeinu, and of Yosef, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Boaz, and David HaMelech, all three are connected to Bias and Mashiach, to the unraveling of the final redemption. So every Jewish person has to know that whatever he goes through during his time of Eilam HaSeb in Yisrael, whatever you go through during your journeys of the Jewish people, your masos, your personal difficulties and journeys, every Jewish person has to know that when this galus is going to end, when the galus of Edom is finally going to come to a close, and Mashiach Sekein is going to take us, is going to lead us to Yerushalayim to build the Beis HaMikdash, then every single one of us will be able to read then that Megillah, that was written and signed by Mashiach, by Elohim, Mashiach Tzakenu. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself is going to say, over here, that's why this happened, that's why you did this, this would happen to you here, and this would happen to you there. And every single thing that you, every moment that you are mechazik yourself, every time you strengthen yourself and your personal goal is to accept Hashem b'simcha and to strengthen yourself with Ilu Hayisi Yodea and to believe, I believe 100% that ultimately will come out from this somehow, some kind of a gula, this will contribute to Mashiach Tzidkenu's arrival. Then that's written La'olam Ve'ed, it's written down Mamish and signed by HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Mashiach. And it's going to be presented by Mashiach Tzidkenu. Now we can understand that when we read the travels of the Jewish people, at least by the Ashkenazim, I don't know if the Sfarad Lulis, we read it to the song. We read it to the song of the of Oz Yoshua, like the Shira that we sang when we went through the Red Sea. When we read the journeys of the Jewish people in this week's coming up in this parasha, we read it in the Shira. Does Sfarad do that too? You have a special tune for Oz Yoshua? You know? So we have a minog that we read it to a special Shira, to a song, with a special tune of Simcha. So ask Akasha, what am I so happy about? We slept from here, we went there. I went from New York, I was in Kansas City, I had to go to Cincinnati, then I was in Los Angeles, I came here, I came there. And in my life, I had to go from this to this, from that, to all different ideas until I made a panos, it didn't work out, and was singing all this with a niggun, with a shira. So now we understand that the shira, the niggun is, it says, Dod Mel said, chesed u'mishpat ha-shira, that I will sing to Kadosh Baruch Hu chesed u'mishpat. When I see Hashem is being good to me in a way that I understand, I want to sing to Him. And even when I feel the hand of judgment upon me, I sing to Him because I know God is saying, why am I singing? Because I know that ultimately this is a refuah. Because I believe that ultimately this is leading to redemption. Therefore, chesed u'mishpat ha-shira. So the 42 journeys that we take in the desert, which are the difficulties in traveling and goals, we're singing. Because we're strengthening ourselves with the emunah of chesed u'mishpat ha-shira. Now let's finish up all the other things in the parasha in 5 minutes. Let's finish. That's Aleph. Now Beis. The story of Aaron Cohen dying in this week's parasha, no? We already were told in Parashas Chukas that Aaron died a couple of parashas ago. So what are you telling us again over here? The difference is, in this parasha that we read by Rosh Chodesh Av, the Torah tells us the date of Aaron's death. It's the only person in the Torah whose yard site is listed exactly, right? It says the day Aaron Cohen died in this week's parasha. Which day did Aaron HaKohen die? Rosh Chodesh Av. Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av. It says Beferish in the Chumash. Look in the parasha. It says in the Torah, Vayisu Mikodesh. It says in the Torah, Vayachnu Baharahar, Arts Eretz, Miktsei Eretz Edom. And then it says afterwards, Vayomasham, Vachodesh HaChamishi Be'echel HaChodesh. Aaron HaKohen died on Rosh Chodesh Av. Friday's his Yahrzeit site. It's an unbelievable thing. Aaron HaKohen is the Beis HaMikdash, right? Isn't Aaron the Beis HaMikdash? Aaron in the soul and nefesh is the Beis HaMikdash in the world. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, is the Beis HaMikdash. Tisha B'Av, the month of Av, is the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The month of Av is when Aaron HaKohen dies, Rosh Chodesh Av. And is Davka, we read it this, it's exactly when we read it every year, and it's exactly when Aaron HaKohen dies, Rosh Chodesh Av. Not only that, the Torah also says over here where he died. So it says, the mountain, and it says an unusual thing, Miktsei Eretz Edom. By the edge of the land of Edom, by the territory of Edom. Is that something you should say in the Torah? Well, it's like it's going to say, where some tzaddik is buried, a half a mile away from the Ku Klux Klan. What kind of a simon, you know? I mean, saying, Aaron HaKohen, where is he buried? Miktsei Eretz, over there by Eretz Edom. What kind of a simon? They give Aaron HaKohen, he's buried next to the Nazis, Yimach Shema. That's what it's saying. Miktsei Eretz Edom. But doesn't tell us. It says her heart. Would you give a simon? You give a different simon. You can give a different sign of where he is. It has to say, over there by Edom. So two things. One thing is, because when the last galus, the longest galus, Aaron HaKohen, who's the hod, who's the splendor, he's hod in the spheres. Aaron HaKohen, who's the quality of splendor. And the Gemara says in the ninth parak in Brachas, that Hod is the Beis HaMikdash. So Aaron HaKohen, who is the splendor of the Beis HaMikdash, died in the month of Av, that's the destruction of the temple. And he is buried where? Miktsei Eretz Edom, over there by the edge of Edom, as if to say, Atat, you're going to get it. Aaron HaKohen stands there forever. That there's going to be yet an Aaron HaKohen, there's going to be yet a Beis HaMikdash, number one. And a different way of looking at it, that Aaron HaKohen, that now we're going through this Avelis, we're going through this Avelis through the morning, so you understand that it's hinted at, the last Golus is hinted at in the same Pasuk. The last Golus of Edom is hinted at with the death of Aaron, because Aaron means the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, the death of Aaron. So therefore, Edom, which is the final exile, is hinted at in the place of Aaron HaKohen. That which is Rosh Chodesh Av, as it says in Chumash. Rosh Chodesh Av. And now we also understand, that's why the clouds went away when Aaron died, the Anonim, because the Yerushalayim is the Sukkah Shalom, is the Ananiya Kavod, the Yerushalayim, the Beis HaMikdash. We also understand now the next thing, the Arei Miklat, the cities of refuge. What? Why is Davka over here, the cities of refuge? Right? That's a place when a person killed somebody by accident, he has a place to run away. Tell me something. When is a person who has been exiled in one of those cities, when is he permitted to leave the city? Permitted. When can he leave and everything will be okay? No, what's the din? When the Kohen Gadol dies. It's a complicated thing, because I'll talk what that means when the Kohen Gadol dies. I'm not getting into the details of it. But when the high priest, when the Kohen Gadol dies, then the person's allowed to leave the city of refuge. Maybe this is an amazing hint over here. That even though right now we're in Golas, we read in the same parish the death of Aaron HaKohen, who's the Kohen Gadol, the high priest. And it's a chizik for the Jewish people that we've made mistakes in history, but we're going to leave Golas. Golas is going to have an end. Therefore, we read the Arei Miklat, because right now we're in Golas. The Jewish people are in Golas, like in the Arei Miklat, in the cities of refuge. This one here, this one there. We're running around in the 42 journeys. And the death of Aaron HaKohen is in this week's parasha, because the Kohen Gadol releases a person from the Arei Miklat, releases a person from Golas. So at the very end, when we're reading this whole parasha of Masos of the Golas and the suffering and the misery, Aaron HaKohen also dies. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed in this darkness, and Aaron HaKohen is reminding us. But you know, when the Kohen Gadol dies, there's also something that happens from the world of Yovel. Something is released from the world of freedom, and that means that even those who made mistakes are freed from Golas. The Mail now, we also can understand why is it in this week's parish Eretz Yisrael is divided up. We can understand now. The way that Eretz Yisrael was divided up is with a Gairal. It was divided up by a Gairal. In other words, by chance, by lots. A Gairal. Alright, how it was done, I'm not getting into the details. But it was done in such a way. And everybody can understand. This is discussed at length in the writings in the Siddur of the Balatanya by Purim. In all this Svarim. Because the holy name of Purim, the Yontif of Purim is named, what does it mean Purim? Purim means lots. So why name it Purim? So the Balatanya has a whole Torah in his Siddur. If you would stand someplace and you'd take a pair of dice and you would roll it 1,000 times and each time it came out the same way, you'd probably at that point begin to think that this is my girl, no? This is my lot that should come out this way. After all. And it doesn't fit into anything the statistics say, and it doesn't make any sense at all. It's crazy. It's mamish crazy. You know, we say, Shanim Kippur, Ata Goralenu, Hashem is our girl. You know what that means? That means no matter how you roll a Jew, he always ends up in Hashem's lap. That's why he is this. No matter how you roll a Jew, somehow he ends up at a Bereshit. No matter what mistakes a person makes, every one of us is going to end up back with Kadosh Baruch Hu somehow. It's our Gairal. Eretz Yisrael is ours. It makes no difference. What Rabin and what Paris think. I'm sorry for having to say their names in a shul. It makes no difference what they think. It makes no difference what they say in the Knesset. It makes no difference what Clinton wants and what Arafat wants. It makes no difference. Our Gairal is Eretz Yisrael, because it's nothing that depends, it's not something that is a chance. You see that it's a Gairal, and it comes out, a Gairal means it's left completely in Hashem's hand. That's what a Gairal is. I'm not doing this, I'm not figuring this out. Rabbi Shalom, you take care of it. That's what a Gairal is. It's your business, Rabbi Shalom. Every Jewish person is Rabbi Shalom's Gairal. And we have an attachment to Eretz Yisrael that does not have to do with whether we're worthy or not worthy. Ultimately, it's ours. It belongs to us. Sof kol sof, every Jewish person has to know that no matter what I go through, ultimately I'm going to be repaired. I don't want to go through suffering, I don't want any misery. Please, Rabbi Shalom, help me not to go through in such a way. But I believe that my Gairal is Hashem. My Gairal, my ultimate destiny is to come to my Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, in this week's parasha, Eretz Yisrael is divided up according to the Gairal. Because every person is looking for his tikkun, for his correction, for his Eretz Yisrael. And the Baruch Hu says, after all the 42 journeys, believe you're going to come for your tikkun. It's not a question of maybe, yeah, maybe, no. I'm rolling the dice. It's going to be. That's the Gairal. And then finally, the last thing, the Torah comes back at the end, it's Slavchad. What Slavchad? We already did that also. Now last week's parasha, the daughters of Slavchad, and that they that they want to have a portion of Eretz Yisrael, and if we're ready, we're masking, it's a good thing, they know what they're talking about, it's fine, the Baruch Masha Ben Yisrael Hashem, everything is great, comes back again with Slavcha. So look how we're ending the whole story of the 42 journeys, the whole story of the Sefer Bamidbar. The end of the book of Bamidbar, which is the book of our Golus, which is the book of each person's Golus, ends in what way? To say that this person's Slavcha, ultimately Slavcha is victorious. Meaning ultimately he finds his Tikkun. Ultimately Slavcha through his daughters is somehow revived, is somehow his inheritance somehow works out. Slavchad's name, the Svarim say, Slavcha comes from two words. Sel Pachad, a shadow of fear. A fearsome shadow. Sel Pachad. Slavcha. Sel Pachad. That means that every person goes through this world and you think that you're losing things that you worked for. You work so hard and then a person leaves the world and you think that it's gone. And I'm never going to have it again. Or God forbid something goes wrong. You lose, God forbid, a child, a husband, a wife, a parent, a brother, a sister. You lose a friend. You lose a parnasa, and you think that it's gone. That's what Slavcha thought, that it's all going to be gone because he didn't have any sons. And what's going to be? Tzel pachad, the pachad of a person in this world, the fear that all my work is for nothing. What's going to be with me, Lamaisa? And Hashem, at the end of this book of the desert, says, Slavcha will come over here. You see, it's all working out. It's a tikkun. It's all right. It's okay. It's a tikkun. I'll tell you a story. I'll tell you a story about the Piazetzna. The Rebbe from Piazetzna, the Eish Kodesh, had the schuss to name a shul after the great, awesome tzaddik, the Eish Kodesh, the Chodesh Talmidim, who was killed al Kiddush Hashem, who saw his family destroyed and chose to stay with the Jewish people in the Warsaw Ghetto to the end, was taken away to the concentration camp. An amazing person. The Piazetzna, Rav Kolonimus Kalman Shapiro was his name. He was a descendant of the Kuzhin Samagit. The Piazetzna was considered to be one of the greatest doctors in all of Europe. Even though he never ever went to school, never went to university, doctors from all over Europe used to speak to him and ask him and refer to him people with the most difficult illnesses. They used to go to Rav Piazetzna, and he was given permission by the government to write prescriptions, even though he never went to school. He wrote prescriptions. So Maisa Shahaya Kachaya, this is a Maisa that happened. One day the Piazetzna is sitting around talking over things with some of the Chassidim, and all of a sudden a simple Jew, a peasant, walks in and he begins to complain. He says, Rabbi, he cries, Rabbi, the medicine was erased from the note that you gave me. Rabbi, the medicine was erased from the note. And my head is hurting me very badly because the medicine that you wrote for me on the note was erased and now I have a terrible headache. So obviously nobody understood how is medicine erased from a paper. What does that mean? That medicine should be erased from a paper. So Chassid didn't understand what was going on. But the Rebbe took out a fresh piece of paper and he wrote another prescription on it. He wrote a new prescription on the paper and he gave it to this Yid, to this Jew. And the Jew was very happy and he took off his hat. And he had inside his hat a yarmulke and some lining and another lining, and I think that was cold. And he took out all the lining, and the chassidim was standing there watching this, and he put this little prescription from the Rebbe in his hat, in the lining, closes up everything, puts on his head, and as soon as he puts on his head, he says, Baruch Hashem, I'm already feeling much better, Rebbe. I'm feeling so much better. And the chassidim were all like holding back their laughter. That's me, he's an idiot. And they're holding back the laughter, and he thanks the Rebbe, and he marches out all in a great mood, he's feeling fine. So all the chassidim are laughing, and the Piazetzna is very serious. The Rebbe is very, very serious. The Rebbe said to them, you know, it's possible for a person to convince himself that a medicine can help him, even though be'emes, in truth, it's ineffective. A person can convince himself that the medicine will work, even though Lamaisa doesn't have anything in it. But you see, we believe in Hashem, the Rebbe said. The Piazetzna said, we believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And because we believe in Hashem, who creates all cures, so the Jewish people believe that it's because of our emunah, it's because of our faith in the Raifei Kol Chaylim, it's because of our emunah, our faith, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the one who ultimately heals all who are sick. It's ultimately Kadosh Baruch Hu who brings healing to everybody. That's our emunah. So because of that, our souls, our neshamas are open to Hashem's refuah, to Hashem healing us. So then the Rebbe explained, listen, I had to give that Yiddel, I gave him a little piece of paper. I gave him a note. The reason I gave him a note is because he's a very simple person, and it's hard for him to understand this abstract idea that just by having emunah, you know, by believing, he believes that it all comes from Hashem. He doesn't need that it has to be, doesn't have to be doctor, this medicine, or some professor, this doctor, whatever. He believes that somehow I'm connected to Hashem, and he believes that therefore a refuah can come. So because it's too abstract an idea for him just to have emunah, and he needs to have a little paper, so because of that I wrote him the prescription on a paper, which he never ever even went to the drugstore to get a drug. I just wrote him a little settle over there, and he put it inside his hat. Now, this chassid was sure that Hashem was making him better through me. And as long as the letters were clear on the prescription, on the tzettel, on the note, as long as the letters were clear, so the faith of this chassid was supported and strengthened because the letters were clear. But when the letters began to be obscured, when the letters began to fade, so the man's headache returned. L'maisa did return. He wasn't joking. The man's headache returned. So I had to rewrite the little prescription for him again. So I was thinking about this maisa a lot. There's a lot to talk about. Each one of us, the pain that we go through in our lives comes from the fact that the prescriptions have long ago faded. And we don't see any more the clear letters and the clear signs. As Hissena Lareinu, we don't see signs of Hashem in our lives, in our deserts. And therefore the prescriptions have faded. So we run, you know, people are running to these things now. They have every day there's another one of these self-esteem groups that pops up, and these are, you know, these healing things and New Age and all this stuff. I guess there's good to it. There certainly is good to it. It's better than a person, God forbid, falling to pieces. But the emes is that all of our refuah, all that is good and all that is sweet and all that can cure us, comes from the Baruch Shalom. And to the extent that we believe Emunah Shleima, that what we're going through is for our tikkun, we could feel mamash simcha in our lives. And we wouldn't have the headaches anymore. If we could put the notes from the piezetzen in our hats, and to know that with certainty that the Baruch Shalom is in charge of our lives, and to see the letters of His presence clearly in our lives, we'd be okay. We'd make it through till the final tikkun. We'd save a lot of money on therapy. A lot of money. Shachmonis on us, sir. Shachmonis, everybody's running here and going there. You see how these books are selling, and millions of books are selling. All these books on helping yourself and helping and how to be a happy person and smiling and succeeding, and you know, all these books, all these organizations and Rabbi Shalom. Mrs. Hashem Bar Mi Esainayim, Sam Chalev, Taras Hashem, Tmima. It's all written for us in clear letters. We're just so far from believing in it that we're schlepping from one place to the other looking for a Yeshua. It's right here. It's right here. Where we are, we could find it. We should be Zarechim Mitzvah Hashem finally for that day when Hashem Baruch takes us on the return trip. It's already enough going on and on and on. We should be Zarechim to have the trip back, and it should be clear to us. And Oz Yimale Yischaik Pinu Ulshaynein Arina Oz Yomu Bagayim Higdala Hashem La'asay Simele Higdala Hashem La'asay Simonu B'mbiyas Mashiach Tzikeni Rehebi Amen V'Amen V'Amen V'Amen.